John Stamos grew up in Cypress, California, and had dreams of getting on television. He auditioned for a role on General Hospital, and his acting career took off. John is famously known as Uncle Jesse on Full House, and has a new show, Big Shot, on Disney+. On this episode of the Carlos Watson Show podcast, John Stamos recalls his experience performing with the Beach Boys, his relationship with his father, and his partnership with Oral Wheat Bread.
Hey, John. It's Carlos.
Carlos, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm great. Carlos, can I say something? I've done a lot of interviews in my time. Everybody was very excited. I was talking to Carlos Watson today. My makeup gal, Ann Mess, is going crazy because your face just came up on the monitor, and I think she might be in love.
Oh, well, please tell Ann she's immediately my favorite person. So I hope I get to meet her in person one day.
Well, you're going to see her right now. Come here. Look, go say hi to Carlos. See that?
Hey, Ann.
Big fan. Love your work.
Coming right back at you.
Why don't you guys get a room? So everybody's excited, and I'm excited too. How you doing up there?
I'm doing well. I'm healthy. Just got back from Miami, Florida.
Okay.
Which apparently never experienced COVID.
You know what? I was there too a couple weeks ago with the Beach Boys, and we it was right. I mean, I think the day we landed in Florida was the day they said, you know, going a little looser on the masks, although I still wear one that has your face on it. But we pulled up the hotel room at the hotel, and I was like, it was like Caligula. Like nobody, there was no, and nothing, you know, they weren't wearing clothes. They weren't wearing masks. It was like, what happened here?
Right. And they look at you strangely if you've got a mask on.
Yeah, like, right.
Like, is that guy sick? Does he have a problem? So
right. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's fun down there. I'm gonna be there on the 4th of July too, in Fort Lauderdale, actually, with the Beach Boys, a big concert on the beach.
All right, let's get right to the most important thing. What is your favorite Beach Boys song said from one Beach Boy fan to another? I know you're more than a fan, but what's your favorite Beach Boy song?
Well, what's yours first? I mean, what kind of fan are you, Carlos?
I'm tempted to say Good Vibrations.
Uh-huh.
I liked your boy. That was your boy Carl Wilson.
Yeah,
on the vocals on that.
And, God bless him.
Didn't always get all the credit maybe he should have gotten.
You're right. And he also sang my favorite, because God Only Knows. That was Carl's voice too.
Oh.
And you know, the beauty of the also part of Brian Wilson's genius was what he wrote a song, and if it he picked the right voice for it. It didn't matter that, you know, he should have sang God Only Knows, or he would have, or Good Vibrations for that matter. But he was, Carl, your voice sounds angelic. You know, Carl had that beautiful, you know, he was did you ever get to meet him, or did you ever see him?
No,
yeah.
No.
He was just one of the best people on earth. Just ethereal. Just like his voice. He's a wonderful man. So God Only Knows is my favorite. We were just playing in San Diego at the Padres stadium, and my son came, and we were playing, and God Only Knows starts. I introduce it, but I don't play on it. And we have this big, beautiful video of Carl singing it behind us. And I looked down, my son's kind of looking at it. He's three, and he's just now kind of getting on concerts and things. And I said, come here. And he came up, and he sat on my lap during God Only Knows, and I just was like, maybe the greatest moment so far in my life.
Oh. And so how did it happen that they actually, because I thought you were just a fan, but you perform with them. And I'm hearing you say, like, this wasn't just like a one-off stunt. Like, you do this regularly. How did that happen? How did they let you in the club?
I stalked them, and I begged them. Well, no, it's I've been with them since, I mean, off and on, you know, as a guest, since 1984 was one of the first times. People ask me this all the time, and I went back to my friend Jeffrey Foskett, who's from the Bay Area. He was playing guitar. He plays guitar with them, and I went to a show. I was on General Hospital at the time, and they played, and I went backstage after the show, but before the encore, and all these girls, cheerleaders, because we were on the baseball thing, they were chased me into the dressing room and screaming and yelling, and Mike Love looks over to my friend Jeff and says, who's that? And my friend said, that's John Stamos. He's a friend of mine. He's on General Hospital, you know, soap opera. And Mike Love said, the girls always chase him and scream like that? And my friend said, yeah. I said, get him on stage. And that was it. I went on and played the encore, Barbaran, and they haven't been able to get rid of me. So I do, it's the, next to my family, it's the greatest thing of my life. It's just, God, I love the band. It's great to hear that you're a fan.
Yeah. I grew up in Miami, and my mom and dad like a wide range of music. My dad's from Jamaica. My mom's from a little small town in Virginia, and they like the widest range of music. And I don't know why. I always loved the Beach Boys. There was always, I think there was something kind of magical. I think is the right word. There was something kind of magical about their sound.
Yeah, that's a good, you know, and you know, when I was young, like I remember I heard them maybe when I was 15 in my dad's El Camino. I had an 8-track of it. But the music is, it's heart music. Like you don't have to think about it. And I think that's the magic that you're talking about. It just bypasses the brain and goes straight to the heart. And, you know, nowadays we need that music pretty badly. And it's great to get out there and be with them. It's optimistic. Wouldn't it be nice? It's happy. It's positive. It's healthy. I got the guys eating this bread now because they like to eat before going on stage to have energy. But they, you know, there's a lot of vegetarian chili and all this. Other stuff. I said, guys, let's just hear it. And the beauty is this, we just put out this small slice. This is the newest addition to the Or Wheat brand or brown berry or what's the third one? Yeah. Huh? What? Oh, Arnold's. That's right. Well, it's different in every city, but so we can eat this, then go on stage and not be too full. I said we got to have Or Wheat in the rider. Put it right next to the Metamucil you guys usually have, and we'll be good.
John, have you ever done stand-up? Have you done pure stand-up before?
No, but I love it. Have you?
I've not. I'm doing it before. I've got a good buddy who's 87 who I work out with, a guy named Jose. He used to run track at Berkeley.
Wow.
And he always tells me, you know, we've agreed that before I get to 100, I'm going to play basketball on my 100th birthday and score a bucket. He said, even if they let you, that will count. And then I got to do stand-up. And I got to get a laugh from someone I'm not related to. So I haven't done stand-up yet, but I'm going to do an open mic night.
You and I are brothers, so I can't laugh. But that's interesting. You know, I haven't done it. I love stand-up comics. I study them. I worked with Saget and Couillet were great stand-ups. And they introduced me to, you know, I was friends with Gary. I was going to say Gary Marshall. Gary Shandling, I did his show a bunch. I just love, it's just such an incredible complicated craft, isn't it? The way, you know, the craft, the words, and some people are so good. I love watching it. And Don Rickles was like my father, you know. I was really very, very close with him his last 15 years or so. And talk about a genius comic.
Right. Yeah. I actually saw you and Don on doing Howard Stern's show, and it looks like you did something very kind for him in that. Sounded like that was both good for Howard and it was good for Don.
Yeah, you know, you say that, and I thought you were talking about, I knew you were talking about Don, but it was really Howard. Howard said that Don was his number one influence, why he got into comedy, where his comedy came from, the same place where Don's came from, which was, you know, they were not the most popular kids in school, and that out of that came, you know, their sense of humor. That was a great thing, because Don, you know, he didn't get up that early, and it was very difficult to get him on there. It took me years, and I begged him, and I said, you got to go on. He loves you, and we didn't tell them that I just came in, and I said, hey guys, I just real fast, I'm dating this new girl. I want you to meet her. It's very important that you like her. And then in comes Don Rickles, and they just died. You know, Artie stood up. And Howard stood up. He was so beautiful. He stood up, took his glasses off, and so he was so respectful. And they had this great conversation. I was very grateful that I got to be part of that for sure.
Who else is on your hero list like that? Because it occurs to me you probably have gotten to do that a couple of times where you've met heroes of yours. Obviously, the Beach Boys count in that. Are there other people like that who you kind of grew up idolizing, or at least you ended up admiring along the way, who you got a chance to spend real time with?
Carlos Watson?
I was hoping you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that.
Well, now we are. You know, my father, I mean, he died when I was, I was in my 30s, but I was always gravitated towards older gentlemen. You know, I just felt there was a lot to learn from them. And over the years I had great mentors in that. Jack Klugman, I worked with, after General Hospital, and he became a mentor to me. And then Gary Marshall, I was very close with Rickles. And now that I'm old, I feel that I have young kids doing that to me. It's like, well, I better give back. Cause people were pretty generous with me over the years, but I just reached out. You know, a lot of these older guys, Don was like, people thought he was dead. They didn't know he was still super funny and playing in Vegas. And we just, you know, I took him to lunch or dinner and that was it. And we used to talk on the phone for hours. It was like two little schoolgirls, but he had a great resurgence, you know, and I was so happy to be part of it. We did this documentary on him, and people realized, oh my God, he's still around. He's still super funny. Oh, every comic on the planet came around, you know, from Robin Williams to Chris Rock. Everybody just loved him. It was nice.
And what brought you to him? How did you first connect with Don?
You know, I was sitting next to him in a restaurant, and we had two tables, and somehow I was on this end of the table and Don was on this, and we were bored with the people we were with, and we turned to each other, we just started joking, and that was it. I just love it, all that. And that's, you know, the Beach Boys were part of that too. I've had a really blessed, beautiful, beautiful life and career, and being able to be here and talk to you today is really special for me.
Well, you know, tell me about your pop, because I was hearing you read a letter from him, and it is a good life. I heard two things that really struck me. One is I heard that letter. I heard you read the letter, which was a very generous letter. Two, I heard you say that your mom was always telling you that she loved you. So yeah. I loved and appreciated that. And then three, I heard you say that they were okay with you dropping out of college to pursue acting. And I've heard so much of the opposite in this life, where people have these dreams. They want to kind of dream fearlessly, as I like to call it. And it's hard for the people in their lives, especially the people who often gave birth to them, to be okay with them doing that. And so, you know, they end up not really getting that kind of warm encouragement there. So I liked all of that. So what were your parents like? Who were these folks who seemed to love, I don't know whether they loved Carlos Watson or John Stamos or both, but whoever it was they loved, what were they like?
I think if they were around, they'd love you. Are you close with your parents? I know you just spoke about your father saying that he tells you you got everything from him.
I did. So I'm a junior. Yeah, I'm close to my dad, and my mom unfortunately passed, but was close to her as well. So I got a good deal as well. I definitely
good for
got
you.
A good
deal. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're lucky, right? I mean, a lot of kids don't, you know, maybe aren't as lucky as we are. My parents were, they just didn't put up any bound, you know, they never said you couldn't do that. Look, the college thing was important to them. My dad owned fast food restaurants, and not only did I, you know, was he encouraging to whatever I did, but I also watched the way he treated people. And I think I really attribute maybe some of my longevity to that. My dad would treat the busboy the same way he would treat his most important customer. And I would just see that and go, oh, wow, look at that. And that's, you know, was with me. But he wanted me to go to college because he was building this fast food business for me. So at least to learn business. And I wasn't very, academical. that says a lot in one bad, stupid word I just made up. But I was never good at school. I was, I was a band geek, and I was, I wanted to be an actor and stuff. But it was important to him. So I went to register at the local college. That's all I could get into. It that sign up room that you saw, I couldn't find that. So I went back, and my dad said, "You have." And I was working at his restaurant. He said, "You have to go to the next semester," and that's that. And I went home and I said, please, I need to get on TV, God, please, God. And luckily I did. I got General Hospital, but I was still working on the weekends. My dad's, said about discipline, and your dad was probably like that too. It's like, hey, Sean, you know, this interviewing thing, this radio thing you do or whatever, this TV thing, it's not going to last. But I was working at my dad's restaurant, and then during the week I would do General Hospital, and it started to air. And this was in the 80s, and the show was really big, and people were coming in saying, "Can I have a hey, aren't you the guy on the, no, give me a cheeseburger." Girls. I said, "Dad, I'm famous. I got to quit," you know, and eventually I did. But so that was kind of, that's how they were. But you said fearless earlier, and that was something I think I just had because they let it happen. And over the years, maybe you felt this, that you start to lose that because you start overthinking stuff, or you're reading about yourself, or now social media. I feel so awful for kids. And I've been trying to get back to that fearlessness. And my new show, I don't know if you got watched it yet, it's called Big Shot on Disney+. I know you mentioned basketball earlier. I play a basketball coach who gets kicked out of the NCAA for throwing a chair, temper, and I have to sort of work my way back up at an all-girls private high school in Laguna. David Kelly writes the show. I know nothing about sports, but what was my point? I was getting to something there.
You're saying being fearless, and how do you get back to being fearless?
The kids on the show, all the girls on the show, they're fearless. I'm like, that's it. I got to get back to that. I mean, and just sort of focus on the moment that you're in at that moment and give it your all. Don't hold anything back. And that's what I've been learning from them.
About getting Blackie in what was a relatively short amount of time. Like, how did that happen? Like, tell me, that feels like a magical story, talking about magic and fearlessness. Like, how did that happen?
It was magic. I mean, it was, you know, all the stars lined up and everything. I just thought I auditioned, and my character was you know, supposed to be kid knocked off. Like, I was a street, you know, kid. And I wasn't really, you know, I was from Orange County, which is like my Disneyland. Like, what did I know about? And it was in New York. I'd never been to New York. And before the audition, I remember I walked down Santa Monica Boulevard. I was driving. I said, this looks kind of like New York, Santa Monica Boulevard, beautiful area, sort of a boys town type of place in West LA. And I was like working on my walk, and you know, these guys are whistling at me, you know, out of the bars and stuff. It was great. And I walked in, and you know, I got it, but it was only supposed to be, and my mother wrote letters, and I just ate it up. I just loved every minute of it. And I still have that, I think. I really do.
Yeah. Wait, your mom wrote letters to who?
To the show, ABC, to say how great the character was.
That is the home team for sure. I love
right,
mom.
Right, right, right.
That is a, right. That is 100%. All right, take me into the girls chasing you, because that is something that very few people have happen in life. True heartthrob all the way through. What would surprise those of us who have never been that level of Stamos? What would surprise us the most about that kind of experience?
Well, look, I don't know, but it surprised me, because I was, like I said, I was a sort of a dorky kid in school. I wasn't super popular. I was kind of, you know, when I got that, I was coming out of the caterpillar into the butterfly thing. And so when it was, you know, girls screaming, I was like, who are they screaming? You know, and then, but it was, you know, it was great. It doesn't happen as much anymore, but you know, and I pay Anna a couple bucks, and she, you know, when I walk into a room, hey, have you tried this bread, by the way? I know I'm pivoting, but truthfully, I do believe in this product, because,
you know, I love it. That was a beautiful pivot. I haven't seen anyone pivot that well off the basketball court. That's a beautiful pivot.
It wasn't that good. It was pretty obvious. you know, if I was a little more subtle, I'd say, you know, you look good. What do you eat? What do you eat, Carlos? What did you have? What kind of bread do you eat there?
All right, tell me about the bread. And how did you get in the bread? Who pulled you into Oro Wheat bread? I don't who pulled you into it? How'd this happen?
Oro Wheat did. They came to me about 6 or 8 months ago. I think it was in the middle of this pandemic. It was. And I had just gone back to work on Big Shot. And I was grateful to Disney. It was a privilege to be able to go back to work. So I said, look, I might do some commercials for this bread company to the craft service person, because I eat a turkey sandwich every day. So I said, let's have this down. They said, John, you've been eating it for like the whole time since we started. I said, oh, really? That's kismet. I'm going to, you know, I mean, look, I'm going to be 72 next in August, and I have to think about my, you know, being healthy and being eating nutritiously. So I get offered a lot of, you know, stuff to promote, but this one seemed right to me and my family. And, you know, I have a 3-year-old son now. Do you have kids?
Not yet, but you were giving me inspiration that, I can get into the game at halftime.
For sure. And you know what? Getting into it at halftime was the best thing for me. Or I don't know if I'm at halftime, maybe the fourth quarter. Because I've lived a lot. I've had some success. I don't have to worry about, you know, my career but you know, I'm more settled, and I can certainly be present. I can put stuff away and go, what do you need, son? No, you know, but it's good. I just FaceTimed him, and I'm not kidding. They'll tell you he was eating small slice French toast. And I said, that's good.
Hey, John, you realize what's going to happen because there is karma in the world. You realize the little fella, his name is Billy. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. You realize Billy is going to be all kinds of funny, and he is just going to give you the blues. You realize that's what's going to happen.
He's gonna give me the blues.
He is. He's gonna make fun of you. He's gonna tease you.
Oh, yeah.
He's gonna keep you on your toes. That's the way the world works. Because I can clearly tell that you're gonna be a dad who's gonna poke fun, and he's gonna be right there with you. He's not gonna miss a step.
You're right, and he already is. He goofs on me already at 3 years old. Hey, you're a nice guy, Carlos. I'm happy to talk to you. Maybe I can come back again. When I don't have people saying 2 minutes.
you know, before you go, I'm going to do a little rapid fire with you.
Okay.
Okay.
Avocado.
Avocado. Most interesting thing you've learned about love.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Okay. If you could have dinner with anyone, dead or alive, who would you love to have dinner with?
Walt Disney. Then you. But Walt first.
I'll take number two. Silver medal's not bad medal. Your favorite movie of all time?
Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz. And favorite character on Wizard of Oz?
Scarecrow.
Scarecrow. Your karaoke song?
I don't sing karaoke. I sing with the Beach Boys. That's, you know.
Oh, true. Okay, all right. So your favorite.
Do you sing karaoke? What's yours?
I do.
What's your go-to?
Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Really?
You didn't expect that,
did you? I would have never
guessed
that. No.
You never would have guessed that.
Do you play violin too?
That's what I'm hoping you'll do, but we'll see whether or not that happens. Most beautiful place you've ever been to?
Oh. Kokomo. Aruba, Jamaica. What about you? What's your most beautiful place?
Most beautiful place, Victoria Falls, Zimbabwe.
Wow. Okay, I've never been there, but I'm willing to try. We'll go camping there.
What will surprise people, even those who think they know about you, what will surprise them about you?
I hope they think I'm funny. I like to be funny.
And if you had not made it onto General Hospital, if you had not become the actor that we all love, play a little bit of Sliding Doors, what would you have done, do you think?
I would be Carlos Watson's makeup man.
I love it. I was counting on that. John Stamos, you know I was counting on that. Hey, John.
Yes.
I'm coming down to see you, but I'm not really coming to see you. I'm coming to see Anne. I'm coming to see Anne.
Come see Anne, and then if you see the Beach Boys playing anywhere, you come and be my guest, will you?
Hey, be careful. I'm going to do that.
Okay. Thanks, buddy. Nice talking to you.
Hey, nice talking to you. Be well.
You too.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Carlos Watson Show podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please tell your friends to find us on the iHeart Podcast app or Apple Podcasts.